Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I believe that we have managed to get Thembisa Fikuda back. He is a senior researcher and director at AfriSid. We wanted to ask him about the Saudi Arabian and Iranian Union. What does this really mean? Thembisa, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
So what does this mean? These two countries have not been friends for a significantly long time.
Yes, they haven't been, and this was after 2016's storming of the Saudi embassy in Iran, following the killing of Namer, a Saudi activist. So the Saudis decided to shut down to cancel the relations with Iran. So what we see now happening is that has been resuscitated. So it means, of course, that there's going to be a possible cessation of hostilities in Yemen, because we know that both countries were supporting either sides in Yemen, Houthis that were supported by Iran and Saudi Arabia supporting the ousted government. And it's going to be the same again, one hopes, in Lebanon, that there will be some sort of intervention there, including Syria, by the way, because Iran and Russia has been very involved in Syria, supporting Bashar al-Assad among the other people. So this could be a beginning of negotiations. But of course, the biggest loser in this regard will be Israel.
Absolutely.
Israel has been warming up relations with, not only in terms of normalization with other Gulf states, but Saudi Arabia has been seen as an ally because, of course, an enemy of my enemy is my enemy, and Iran in this case was a common denominator.
Yeah, so that really does both place both Israel and the United States, who are very concerned about Iran's nuclear program. It does impact significantly on them. Why would Saudi Arabia have gone this route, knowing the reaction that it would have had or that it will have?
Well, I think two things. The first one is that China, you know, China's foreign policies see no evil, hear no evil. And its expansion of Road Belt Initiative will rely by and large on road and rail, amongst others. And countries in the Middle East are important in terms of that transportation of goods from East Asia into West Asia. So you need Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia occupies much more bigger landmass than many of these countries. That would be the first point. But the other point is that China is also flexing its own foreign policy muscle, because its foreign policy is dependent on good neighborliness. As I've said, Belt Road Initiative means that you're going to be implementing road and rail in people's territory. So that's why they're doing this. But they're also trying to replace United States, that has been showing less interest in the Middle East, particularly from the time of or the tenure of Barack Obama. Trump tried to resuscitate some relationship, but it was also not enthusiastic. Joe Biden, we see him clearly not enthusiastic. So China has seen this.
Saw the opportunity.
And they are now occupying that, or trying to occupy that possibility, that position.
What was the conflict between Saudi Arabia and Iran? Was it ideological?
Well, there's a traditional conflict and there's a contemporary conflict. The traditional conflict, of course, is the schism between Sunni Islam and Shia Islam. Iran has been accused of Shia expansionism in the region, particularly in countries such as Bahrain, Lebanon, Syria, and Yemen. And Iran sees itself as a custodian of Shia Islam. And then you've got Saudi Arabia that sees itself as a custodian of Sunni Islam, because it's got those two very important mosques, one in Medina and one in Makkah. And their role is to protect and continue to expand Sunni Islam. So there's been that conflict from the beginning of time, since the establishment of Shia Islam. Now, the contemporary challenge came when, in 2016, when Saudis decided to execute Nimr al-Nimr, who was the activist, a Shia activist in Saudi Arabia. He's a Saudi, and he was executed by the government of Saudi Arabia in 2016. The Iranians in Tehran decided then to storm the embassy of Saudi Arabia in protest of the killing of Nimr al-Nimr. And that's when the Saudis decided to cancel diplomatic relations with Saudi Arabia. So that's the contemporary political reason why we have the current situation.
Right. And where is this going to lead? Will it be a natural and real connection between the two countries, or is it going to be almost a cold peace?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be a reconciliation at the top. We're likely going to have at some point Ibrahim Raisi of Iran and Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia shaking hands. But on the ground, the horse is bolted. The Sunni Muslims in the region and the Shia Muslims in the region hate each other for many reasons. One of the reasons is Syria, for example, where Iran and Russia were sponsoring Bashar al-Assad. And they massacred millions of people and displaced millions of people in that country, as we all now know. And on the side of the Syrians was in Sunni countries. And the rationale that was told at the time was, in fact, this became a sectarian war where Sunni and Shia were fighting amongst each other. Because if you look at the people that were displaced, by and large, were Sunni Muslims. In Yemen, the same story. So there's that polarization between the Sunni and the Shia Muslims in the region. And I think if there was to be any reconciliation of any sort, you need to have some campaigns on the ground to explain to the people that, you know, they don't have to hate each other as much as they hate each other at the moment. But what I think will happen at this point is going to be a leadership reconciliation. It's going to be a political reconciliation at a very, very top. But the ground will remain hostile to each other, as it's been the case till now.
Mm, mm. And the impact on Israel, as you said, is going to be significant as well.
Well, the impact on Israel is going to be very significant. Benjamin Netanyahu is going to be much more isolated because he was betting on Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia went on to cancel the relations with Iran. But now that they're reconciling, I think it's going to be much more difficult for Israel to pursue an objective in the Middle East, which, by the way, was gaining some sort of consensus, given that there is that move to make friends with all the other countries in the Middle, including Bahrain and United Arab Emirates and others. Now that you've got Iran moving back into the fold, chances are Israel might just find itself isolated in this regard.
Very, very interesting and fascinating to see where this is going to go. Tempisa Fukuda, thank you as always for your perspective.